Good morning, Itihuano. It's so lovely to be with you all. Thank you so much for inviting me to be with you for this weekend of celebrating and giving thanks for the completion of the earthquake strengthening work here. I'm actually quite, I think it's a beautiful tradition that you have of spending that time in reflection. And as I was there, I was quite overcome with emotion thinking what a gift it is to have this space, to be able to meet with God. So this weekend, I think for all of you, is a real mountaintop moment. And so when I was thinking about what would be good to share with you, I was drawn to another mountaintop moment in Scripture, what many of us know as the transfiguration of Jesus. And just to set the scene, in Matthew's Gospel, this takes place right near the end of Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus and three of his disciples withdraw from the crowds. And in the Bible, these are often times when Jesus will go up mountains to pray, to worship, and to encounter God. You know, he did this regularly by himself and with his disciples. And so you can imagine that Peter, James, and John probably thought that as they climbed the mountain, it was going to be business as usual when they got to the top. But what they got was a whole nother kind of experience, you know. It was sort of like they were expecting to go to an ordinary stadium match, and what they got was the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games instead. You know, there's the strobe lights, the smoke machines, the massive speakers. It's a whole nother level of mountaintop moment. But this place, St. Luke's Wastetown, is that place where people regularly withdraw from the world to pray, to worship, and to encounter God. And so on this weekend where it's a little bit not business as usual, and we have our own mountaintop moment, there's three blessings that I really want to pray for you that come through this story of the transfiguration. And so the first is that I pray that every time you gather here, you will know Jesus Christ more fully and your own identity as beloved children of God. You know, in this passage, Jesus takes on this whole other appearance, and the greatest prophets in Israel's history join him, affirming his status. Jesus' otherworldliness, his glory, is on full display. And when God speaks to the disciples in this passage, he says, "This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." If the disciples had any doubts about who Jesus was before this, they have them no longer. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Lord. And you know, we get the privilege of living on the other side of history, where we know that Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension are the fulfillment of that initial little glimpse into God's glory. And so I pray that when you gather here, you would encounter this Jesus. With God's words, we're taken back to that point where Jesus was baptized and God spoke over Jesus. And it was before Jesus had done anything in his ministry. You know, he just lived life like an ordinary person until that point. And those words that God speaks over Jesus are the same words that God speaks over each one of us. "You are my child. I love you. I take great delight in you." We are children of the living God. God loves us. God delights in us. You know, the world around us constantly tries to tell us who we are and who we should be. The world's messages can also be so contradictory. You know, some of us are drowned by messages that tell us that we are not enough, that we are useless. And others of us are plagued by a very different message that says that we are enough and therefore we don't need anybody else. And so we need the truth of who we are to be spoken to us over and over again. We need God's words to us, and we need to speak those words to one another. The truth is that we aren't enough on our own, but we're not on our own. We are God's beloved children. We are part of God's family. That is the truth of who we are and the truth that we need to live from. You are God's child. God delights in you. God loves you. Second, I pray that every time you gather in this place, you would be equipped for your calling as God's people. In Matthew, we are told that Jesus talks with Moses and Elijah. In Luke's same description of the account, Luke says that they spoke about Jesus' departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Matthew confirms this in the conversation that Jesus has with Peter, James, and John immediately afterwards. The Son of Man is going to suffer at the hands of men. There is this sense then that on this mountaintop, God is both confirming what Jesus is being called to do and affirming and strengthening Jesus for the task ahead, that final journey through Jerusalem to his death. In Moses and Elijah, God reminds Jesus of others who have lived a life of faith and a life of suffering for the sake of their calling, giving Jesus the courage to fulfill his own calling, no matter what the cost. And for Peter, James, and John, the message is clear. Listen to him. The disciples are instructed to look to Jesus, to be led, to be guided by the same Jesus who is willing to take up his cross so that the kingdom of God could be fulfilled. And even though it is going to be hard and it is going to be costly, this passage is so full of hope. You know, it's here through this prayer and encounter with God that Jesus is reminded of his calling, that he is fed and nourished and equipped to go out for his mission. And as followers of the suffering servant king, it is in this place too that we are fed, nourished and equipped so that we can truly live into all that God is calling us to be and to do. Finally, I pray that every time you gather in this place, you would be sent back out to bring God's good news and transformation to the community around you. You know, it's so good to be able to gather. And in those times of deep encounter with God, all we really want to do is remain in that place, eh? When we're in a really good space with God. And, you know, Peter in this passage, he recognizes how good it is to be in the presence of God. And he even offers to build tents and shelters so that they can remain there. There's this desire for the disciples to stay in that place. And however good their experience was, it can't be anything compared to what Jesus was experiencing in that moment. You know, to be able to have Elijah and Moses to talk to have God speak audibly and affirm him in who he is and his calling. And yet he doesn't stay there. No, he leads his disciples back down off the mountain, fully aware of the journey to the cross and right back amongst the crowds. And the person that we're told they first encounter is this father who is deeply, deeply distressed and in despair over his son who is unwell. His son who was on a path of self-destruction, throwing himself into the fire and into water. And we think about that young man, we could see that all around us, eh? There are so many people in our world in desperate need of hope. People who are in despair, people who are in self-destruct mode, that need the hope and healing that Jesus has to offer. And that is what Jesus offers, right? Jesus prays and straight away this young man is healed and restored to fullness of life. And yet his disciples weren't able to do it. And when Jesus talks to them about why that is, he says it's because they have such little faith. The purpose of the mountaintop experience, that encounter with God, it's a passing experience that emboldens us to go back into the world that's hurting and healing and bring God's transformation. That is the first thing that Jesus does after he has this incredible experience. You know, he comes down off the mountain and offers healing to this family. He models for his disciples and for us what it means to pray and worship God, but also that these times of encounter serve the purpose of repurposing us for our calling as ambassadors of God's kingdom. You know, I wonder what difference it would have made if it had been Peter or James and John who had prayed for this young man. Because surely after their experience on the mountain, they would have been full of that kind of faith, that they would believe that God could bring that transformation. I read a really wonderful article this week in the Post. It said that St. Luke's is the last church standing in this community. And so you have offered the most incredible gift to this neighbourhood, you know. But it will not mean anything. It will all come to nothing. This will mean nothing if it isn't for the purpose of sending you back into your neighbourhood to offer the good news of Jesus in word and action, and to invite others to come and have these incredible encounters with the living God. Today's mountaintop experience means nothing unless it propels you to go out and be Christ's ambassadors of transformation and hope in Wadestown, in Wilton, and in Crofton Downs. And so as we celebrate and give thanks today, this is my prayer for you as God's people in this place. Every time you gather here, may you know Jesus Christ more fully and your own identity as beloved children of God. Every time you gather here, may you be equipped for your calling as God's people in this place. And every time you gather here, may you be sent back out to bring God's good news and transformation to the community around you. Amen.